impact. Talking about impact, the impact that God has on you and what you have on the people around you, right? Am I assuming right? Something like that? Yeah? You guys finished up the... You guys went through the preaching spirit already? Already did that? Through this bit, right on. Middle schoolers, what have we been doing? I literally do a summary every week on what we've gone over. We were in Matthew at one point, yes. No, we did Life of Jesus. Well, our series is called Planted. I know, last year is so long ago. The Planted series. The goal is just to encourage the middle schoolers. This is actually the last week of it, so you guys get to catch the end. The goal is just to encourage the middle schoolers, I guess, to just plant their lives in Jesus, to be intentful on what they're doing in their relationships and just in everything that they are doing, just to grow and apply what they're getting out of the youth and main service and everything that's just going on around the church. This is the last week of our series. It's also the beginning of a new year, so a couple weeks ago I challenged you guys to like set goals for yourselves, to be looking back at the past, not dwelling on it, but then looking forward at the future and like making goals for yourself. Even at your guys' age, you should have goals for this year. No matter how big or small you might think they are, you should be trying to just improve, I guess, or do better, or try to strive to do something with the time that you have. So we've been in the Gospels, and then last week we jumped into the book of Acts. And throughout this whole series, we've basically been following Peter, Simon Peter, just on his journey following Jesus. And last week we talked about knowledge, kind of just bouncing off of what Brenton talked about a couple weeks ago, and just how we apply the knowledge that we get to help either like defend ourselves or to be intent or confident in what we know. Not just with the Bible, but in everything, like anything that you get from school or whatever, if you're taking it in, you should always feel confident to apply it, and in whatever situation that is, whether it be to defend yourself or to stand up for something that you believe in. I said we played a game called dodgeball, but we did not. And I had a purpose for it, but it's just too cold to do that. So we're going to be in Acts chapter 12, like I said. We're going to read verses. Oliver, I don't know if you want to sign up for all of this. We can divvy it up.
Yeah, I mean, I can do a verse. I have a question for afterwards.
For afterwards? Do you want to save it for afterwards, or does it...
Yeah, save it for afterwards. It doesn't really pertain to what we're talking about. Gotcha.
Well, we're going to be reading verses 1 through 19. Does anybody else want to read besides Oliver?
Sure.
I'll read. All right, hold on. Oliver, you're down to read? 19 chapters. We got 3. Anybody else?
It's
19 verses, whatever. 19 chapters. We're reading 19 chapters today. That is what we're doing with our time.
Wait, what?
19 verses. So you take 1 through 6.
There's 4 of us.
Yeah. Jalen's reading or not?
Yeah.
All right. One through five is Oliver. 5 through 9 is Jalen. Your 9 through...
If it's 1 through 5, then the other one can't be 5 through 9.
Okay, 6 so. Through 10. Those 4 verses. And then you've got 10 through...
He's got 11.
You got 11 through 15. And then you finish us off with the last 4. Yeah. All right. Hopefully we can get that right. Go ahead.
Now, about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he had put him in prison and delivered him to 4 quaternions of soldiers.
Good job.
To keep them in integrity after Esther to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him.
Now when Herod was about to bring him out on the very night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and sentries before the door was guarding the prison. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood next to him, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him, saying, "Get up quickly," and the chains fell off his hands. And the angel said to him, "Dress yourself and put on your sandals." And he did so, and he said to him, "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me." And he went out and followed him. He did not know that what was being done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. When they had passed the first and the second guard, they came to the iron gate leading into the city. It opened for them of its own accord, and they went out and went along one street, and immediately the angel left him.
When he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John,
Can you read 11? Verse 11. That's where you're starting, buddy. You're good.
And Peter was come to himself. He said, "Now I know of a certainty that the Lord has sent his angel and have delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectations of the people of the Jews." And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken, named Rhoda. She knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told Peter stood before the gate.
I said unto her, "Thou art mad," but she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, "It is his angel." But Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But he, beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of prison. And he said, "Go show these things unto James and to the brethren." And he departed and went into another place. Is it 19?
Yep.
Now as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers. That was become of Peter. When Herod had sought for him, found him not, nor examined the keepers, and commanded that they should be put to death. And he went down from Judea to Caesarea, and they abode.
So when we started this journey, we started talking about John the Baptist and how Jesus was introduced to Andrew, and then how Andrew shared his joy for meeting Jesus with Simon Peter and brought him to meet Jesus. And then we followed along later. They had the incident in the boat where they push out. We got a little off topic last week, and then we talked about Stephen, and then we're back with Peter. We're going to break down these verses today and kind of see what's going on in this situation. In the first two verses, we see that Herod is the king, and during this time that the Christians were being heavily persecuted. So much so, in verse 1, or verse 2, it says that James was killed. He was killed with a sword. Have any of you guys ever been told that you cannot worship God? Or that you, have you ever been like belittled so much to the fact that, or belittled for the fact that you have a relationship with God? Or have any of you ever been like physically harmed for having faith that you do? Have any of you guys ever like experienced anything like that?
We're in like prime, whatever like the rules we were set that we can't talk about our religions at school.
At school? I was just curious, like, of types of persecution. Like, you know, I mean, you can tell, you can share if you want or not, like, any of you. That's why I asked those questions, I guess, to get you thinking or just to see what kind of strife or grief or persecution you guys get in today's world. So just stuff like that. Maybe a couple people making fun or giving you a hard time. To school telling you, you know, you can't openly speak about your faith. That's a little bit more extreme, I guess. I mean, getting made fun of is not ideal, but what else? Anybody got anything else? No one physically harmed for believing in God. None of us were physically harmed. But can you believe that there are parts of the world where people are physically harmed, where people are killed, where people are shunned from their family, people are cast into prison? They're not allowed to openly do what we're doing right now. How many of you here were in here when James and Rosie came? The Fifes. Do you guys remember the Fifes? Anybody from Pakistan? Remember talking about Pakistan? Yeah, I knew that. I was just trying to see, like,
how long ago was it?
James and Rosie, when he told about the part you guys would probably remember is when he talked about ghosts and everybody asked him about.
Yeah, no, dude, I don't remember what I did last week.
Well, see, that's the point of what the whole series.
That's all I remember because I thought you were talking about within
like the last month.
No, this has been a while.
Unique because of where he was a missionary too.
Yes, he was in Pakistan and he came and he shared with you guys, and this is the whole point of our series is like that you guys remember this stuff, that you're being diligent to suck it all into your brain and use it. But he lived in Pakistan, and they in Pakistan they cannot openly share. It's Muslim. Most of it, all over there is Muslim. They cannot share, like, Christianity is, like, they, people will be disowned from their family. They stone people over there for having, believing in anything other than what they think they should believe in. Yeah, people walk around. I mean, it's just not a scary place. And the point I'm trying to make here is, you guys, not just you guys, us, all of us in general, to live in the country that we live in, we are very blessed to have the luxury that we have.
I watched a video, and this chick from, I think, Pakistan or whatever, she got in trouble for teaching the kids how to read. Like, she got killed right in front of her kids because she taught them how to read.
Yeah. But things that we might take for granted is, like, our ability to be able to go to church 2-3 times a week, to be able to host volleyball on a Friday night, to be able to praise openly, to listen to Christian music in your car. I mean, to be able to go onto the streets and profess or to share the gospel with people. You don't have to do that and be afraid about it. None of us have to be, like, afraid of, other than maybe getting made fun of or told them that we're a lunatic or something, but, like, we don't have to worry about physically being harmed or our family disowning us. So it's just a luxury that we have living in America that I pray none of us take for granted. That we just all realize how lucky we are to have that. But that being said, Christians are being heavily persecuted during this time. And it says, and because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceedeth further to take Peter also. King Herod was the king during this time. He's a person of power. The president of the United States, you know. The people look up to him, and just like in today's time, like, we pray that our leaders, the people that are in high roles, like your principal or whoever you would think assumed to be a leader, we pray that they don't let what they believe will get them votes or will influence the people around them's decisions or whatever, that they won't allow that to help in their decision-making process. But obviously it says that and because he saw it pleased the Jews, so he saw that him killing James pleased the Jews, so he went and he took Peter into prison. And because it's Easter, you see that they didn't right away kill Peter. They allow him to live while all of this is, like while they're observing the Passover. And you see that he's heavily guarded. It says 4 quartillions of soldiers, right? Difficult to say, right? What was the first thing that came to your mind when you saw that?
Something from space.
From space? I can't help to think of people saying like a million jillion or something. Like, I'm like, oh, that's like a lot. You know, when somebody's trying to, one of my kids or whoever, somebody's trying to express like a large amount, they just say like million zillion or just something off the wall like that. So for me, that's just the first thing that came to my mind. But it's just a large group of soldiers. I think it's 16 to be exact, were guarding him at all times. And you continue on reading and, assuming like the circumstances that Peter has, most of us, he himself probably assumes that things are pretty grim. He knows James was killed. He knows he's in prison. He's got all these guys guarding him. And we can all just assume, it doesn't tell you how he's feeling, but you can just assume like, he's probably thinking he's going to die. Nothing is telling him, you know, that he's going to make it out of that situation okay. And we read in verse 5. It says, Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. It's important for us to know that no matter what we're going through in life, no matter what we're dealing with, no matter like the situation, how small or how big that we're dealing with, that our struggles, that we have, especially us here, like you guys attending church and stuff, it's power for us to know that the power of prayer has, even in the grimmest of times. And you can see that what the power of prayer had in this situation illustrated through the next several verses. Because the angel of the Lord appears to Peter, he rescues him from prison, and that's a miracle that only God could have performed. And none of that probably would have happened if, I'm assuming Peter was praying, God, please don't let my life end here. But also the church itself or the people that cared about Peter or that knew about the situation that he was going to, they were all praying without ceasing. So for us, like, it's important that we see that God truly does answer prayers. Like, if we're doing so without ceasing, if we're diligently praying about something, not winning the lottery, but something meaningful or impactful in our life, God does answer prayers. It might not be in the way that we always anticipate them to be answered, and it might take you several years to look back on something and realize, like, hey, that situation that I was in, you know, I never would have really gotten out of that if it wouldn't have been for God putting this person in my life, or if it wouldn't have been for this happening, or like maybe your family moves unexpectedly and you're like, if God wouldn't have moved my family, like who knows what I would have been at that school, or if God wouldn't have put me here. It's not always how maybe you're praying about it, but God always is looking, like answering prayers as long as we're being intent. And it's also important for you guys to know that there are other people praying for you. There's people in our corner or in your corner praying for us even when we don't know about it. I would assume Peter didn't know that people were outside of prison praying for him. It doesn't tell us that at least, but you know, it's important that we understand that we have people in our corner, your parents, youth leaders, pastors, like there are people that are praying for you guys. And what you're dealing with, what you're struggling with, what's going on in your life, even just from the littlest of things, like making it to school safe in the morning, to making it home from school, to the biggest thing, who you marry, who your friend group is, who, like what your decision-making process looks like through school and after school. I know all of you that your parents, like those are things that they pray about, whether you're praying about them or not. And I know that there's people in the church that are praying like for your growth spiritually and just in general, that you might not think are praying for you. So as we continue on, we see in verse 10 that Peter makes it out of jail. It says, when they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city. And it says, it opened to them of its own accord. The gate opens by itself. No one opens it for him. I can imagine you're like, he's probably breathing heavily. I don't know. The angel with him, maybe he's calm. It's calmed the situation. But I'm just thinking about me escaping jail. Like, I'd probably be like trying to be in a hurry. And he just runs up to this gate and it opens. And he's like, holy moly. And he just goes right on through it. And they get through and they make it through like a street or two, it says. And they went out past through one street and forthwith the angel departed from him. He gets out there and then boom, angel's gone. See you later, dude. Doesn't say he says anything to him. It just departed from him. So he knew that he was a little bit free, and from that situation, he's probably like, man, the angel's gone, now I gotta get to freedom. I gotta get away from the prison. I gotta get away, from, as far away from the situation as possible. And then the next sequence, like what takes place next is actually kind of funny to me. But he goes to people I'm assuming that he knows that are friends of his or people part of the church, and it says, and when Peter was come to himself, like he's just realizing where he's at and that he's out and all that, he says, now I know of a surety that the Lord is with him. The Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. And he says, he came of the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. So he comes to this house where they're all praying, and Peter knocks on the door of the gate. The damsel came to hearken, named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, so he's standing at the door, he knocks on it. I imagine Rhoda coming up to him. She's like, "Who's there?" And he's like, "It's me, Peter. Let me in." And when she knew Peter's voice, or she hears his voice, she recognized it. She opened not the gate for gladness. She's so enamored. She leaves him outside. But ran in and told everybody how Peter stood at the front gate. So here's Peter freaking out. He just escaped from prison. His life is like, he's got freedom, and he gets to this door. He knocks on it. She leaves, and she goes and tells everybody, like, "Hey, Peter's at the front gate." She didn't let him in, and they're all like, "You're crazy." But she constantly affirmed that it was even so, and they said, "It is his angel." Like, sure, it's not him. It's got to be his angel, you know. But then Peter, he's like, "Bro," knocking on the door again. He continued to knock, and then they opened the door and saw him, and they were astonished. I just find it funny, given the circumstances of everything going on. I don't know how I would react in that situation. It's just a funny picture to me to see, because I think of, like, trying to get out of prison, trying to escape, and you're trying to get somewhere, and you're knocking on a door, and then they just leave there hanging. So he's likely panicking. And they finally let him in. We see in verse 17, and it says, "But he beckoned unto them with the hand to hold their peace, and declared," so he's like, "Hey, calm down, no big deal. I'm out of prison, don't worry about it." He told them that the Lord brought him out of prison, and he says, "Go show these things unto James and the brethren." And he departed and went into the other place. This James is not the same James that was killed in the beginning. This is James, Jesus' brother. After everything that he'd been through, he finally gets let in. He tells them all about this miracle that God has performed. And he tells him to go and share his story with other Christians, with other people that that are like-minded, I guess, or other people, just so that they can know the goodness of God, what God will do for them. So here is a Christian faced with heavy persecution, and the first thing that he wants to do when he gets out of the situation is share what God is doing for him. I pray that when we all hit, like, the lows in our life, or when we ever find ourselves in a situation, or getting out of a situation that we know that God brought us out of, that we don't just kind of keep that stuff to ourselves. I pray, like, when God does something good for you in your life, that you do share that with people, even if it is hard, or you hear it in testimonies, and I'm sure, like, Life Issues class, or on Fridays, like, God brings people out of tough situations, and keeping that stuff, like, letting people know what God did for you in your life, to yourself, you don't know how encouraging that could be to somebody else. You don't know how, even if it seems minimal to you, how sharing God doing something good for you with somebody else, how much it would mean to them, how big of an impact that it can have on what they're dealing with or what they're going through in their life, because we don't know what other people are dealing with. So I just pray that we all do try to find the best, find the good in every situation that we're in, and that we're willing to show God the glory for what he's doing for us. And so after this, it says that, "Go and show James and to the brethren." And he departed and went into another place. So Peter goes into hiding. He doesn't tell us where he's going. It doesn't say specifically that he goes into hiding, but I would assume that's what he's doing. He's a man on the run. Just like anybody, he's going to go wherever he knows that he can be safe. And then in verses 18 and 19, it says, "As soon as it was day, there was no small stir." Meaning there was like a large commotion. Everybody realized, like, what the heck happened? There's 16 quadrillion soldiers guarding him, and this guy gets out. How is this possible? Herod's losing his mind. And when he finds out that these guys, the keepers, he says, and found him not, and he examined the keepers and commanded that they should be put to death. And he went down from Judea and Caesarea and there abode. In those times, like, if you let somebody escape on your watch or whatever, I'm assuming you're the one that has to pay the price that they didn't have to pay. So, Peter departed. He went to another place. Herod wakes up in the morning. He realizes his prisoner is gone. Kills all the guards. Puts him to death. And that's the end of that. So, for the middle schoolers, a lot of you guys weren't there last week. I know this is kind of like a grim last 2 weeks. We talked about Stephen, him being killed for for what he believed in, and then here we are talking about James being murdered or killed, and Peter being thrown into prison for what he believes in. So I know these aren't like encouraging things for you when we're going through a series like that's supposed to be encouraging you to follow Jesus. And you're probably asking yourselves, like, why would I want to face this type of torment for what I believe in? But it isn't really like torment. That's not like the point or the picture that I'm trying to portray. God blessed both of these situations. God got the glory through both of these things. He instilled or ensured that his mission was getting, like, of getting the word where it needed to go, was still being done. And I want, like, all of us to understand and to take away from, like, this little passage here is how blessed we are, like I said in the beginning, to have and live where we live, to be able to do the things that we do and do it freely and not have to face the kind of persecution that these guys faced for what they believe in. To just not take it for granted. And I also want to, like, I don't want to sugarcoat it. I don't want you guys to think, like, just because I'm a Christian, things will be easy. Like, it's going to solve all your problems. Like, that's, we don't stand up here and tell you what we tell you or share what we share with you to let you, like, to make you think that just everything's going to be easy for you in life. Like, just because you have a relationship with God. Choosing to believe in Jesus and what he did for you on the cross and live a Christian life, it will have its ups and its downs. We pray that that's not the case, and ideally it wouldn't be, but that's just life. And it's important that through all of those ups and downs that we all just understand that we're not alone, that we do have people that care about us. We do have a church body that is there for us. There are people praying when we even don't think that they're praying for us. The one constant that we see is that both of the people, all the people that we talked about, I know high school, some of this might be confusing to you, but in both of those situations, they were all just obedient to what God was doing in their life. They were all just obeying what God had intended for them. So that's it. Oliver, you want to pray us out?
Sure.
And then I got a couple of little things, and then we'll head out.